Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Logistics, where we have conversations with thought leaders and newsmakers in the supply chain logistics industry. It's my great pleasure to welcome to today's program Mike Dieter, who is CTO at Transplace. And today we're going to talk about defining the future of transportation management systems. Now, we all know that the transportation market is, you know, very dynamic and always changing. And, you know, there's new challenges that, you know, shippers and 3PLs and carriers all have a changing environment. And kind of it follows that transportation management systems need to evolve along with these, you know, market requirements. So then the question becomes, you know, what are some of the emerging trends happening in the TMS market? What are some of the key capabilities, more ethical or even available, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago that are, you know, becoming more and more important today? And certainly it's a privilege to have Mike with us today to, as the CTO, to shed some light in terms of, you know, what they're doing from a TMS standpoint, what they're seeing in the marketplace, and certainly what's happening from a technology standpoint. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today that part of our conversation here at Talking Logistics is to make this conversational. So if you've got a question or a comment for Mike, you can do so via the Q&A box, and I'll keep an eye on it. If it's a good and appropriate question, I'll certainly try to weave it into the conversation. Just to remind you that in order to ask a question, you have to be watching this episode on the Google Hangouts event page. So with that, Mike, welcome to the program.
Be here.
So Mike, you know, as a first-time guest, before we dive into the program, I always like to kind of get a little bit of a background in terms of, you know, how and why, you know, folks got involved in this industry. So why don't you briefly tell us a little bit about your career path, you know, how and why you got involved in supply chain logistics and what your current role and responsibilities are there at Transplace?
Sure. Been a software engineer and in IT for over 30 years. Started way back in the 80s as a software engineer in Wang Labs in Lowell, Massachusetts, and, you know, went up through the ranks, and in the dot-com boom years that we had, I got a phone call one day while working at Putnam Investments as a senior VP of IT, and had a unique opportunity to work on transportation in its last mile. So when the dot-com started, people were ordering things over the internet, and the big problem was, how the heck are you going to get it from the warehouse to the home? So it was that last mile delivery problem. So a company called Home Direct was born. I was CTO of Home Direct. That's where I met Tom Sanderson, who's the CEO of Transplace now. So I got into logistics that way, wrote my first transportation management system way back in the wonderful year of 2000. After Home Direct, we went to, Tom and I had a company called Click Logistics, which we went off and sold. From Click Logistics, I went to Beacons Transportation, where again, we had a company, a home delivery company that Beacons used. And it was there for a long time, most of the way through 2000. And again, we focused on that last mile, working with folks like Amazon, working with other large retailers to use a white glove service to get the big screen TV to the house. Wrote another TMS during that career. All in all, I've written about three TMSs. And now I find myself at Transplace, working again with a great COO, Tom Sanderson, working on another proprietary TMS. And with this TMS, I'm trying to take it to the next level. TMSs have really changed over the past 10 to 15 years. You know, way back when, it was all about typing in the order and billing to your customer. Now it's the whole industry is changing rapidly. People are certainly more sophisticated. Transportation are much more sophisticated. The technology has changed, so we're on the cusp, hopefully, of an exciting new set of TMS features and functions.
Yeah, no, great background there. You know, certainly a lot has changed since those dot-com days. But of course, you know, with your kind of early history in home delivery, right, we've kind of come full circle in some ways, where now home delivery and last mile logistics has become so, in the spotlight, you know, as the, you know, customer requirements are looking for, more timely and time definite delivery. That's certainly one of the trends happening out in the transportation marketplace, which again brings me to my first question. I mean, you know, working for a 3PL, you're on the front lines of what's happening in the transportation market, you know, whether it's from the carrier side or the shipper side. I mean, what are some of the factors that are driving the need for innovation in transportation management systems?
Yeah, I mean, what I see our customers doing is they're all about satisfying their customer, you know, making sure that the truckload of sugar gets to the factory, making sure the sand or salt gets to Boston, you know, for that big snowstorm you've got coming tomorrow. But it's all about customer satisfaction and using a TMS to make sure that delivery gets there. We have to satisfy our customers. Our shippers have got to satisfy their customers. So that TMS is the heart of succeeding or accomplishing that goal, as well as saving money. I mean, you and I both know that transportation departments are cost-based. They're not profit centers. So they're trying to save every penny they can. So that TMS is extremely fundamental in helping our shippers to save money, you know, tweaking out a couple of pennies on shipping, you know, per mile and getting that shipment cost lower. So, you know, what I'm seeing out there is you've got to create a TMS that, you know, is constantly looking to satisfy customer base and their customer base, saving costs. And with everybody becoming aware of data now, and technology, you know, certainly people, you know, are now growing up with computers. It's not like it was, you know, way back when you only had a few people who knew about computers. Now everybody knows about computers. Everyone uses them in their daily lives. They use Google. So they're sitting at home. They're looking at Google. Get this out of my TMS, or why can't I find this out about my TMS, or why can't my TMS do this? So I'm getting some pretty sophisticated questions from my users about things that they would like to see in the TMS.
Yeah, that's a great point at the end there. I want to get back to that in terms of the users of a TMS, because I think that, you know, obviously as TMS changes, you know, I think that the user requirements and what they expect out of a TMS, you know, changes as well. And I think you're right. I mean, I think on the one hand, you can say, well, TMS has always been about, you know, meeting customer service level requirements at the lowest possible cost, right? And doing that in a reliable manner. So I think that hasn't changed, and that's been kind of the constant. But what has changed is the fact that I think, you know, for a lot of companies, their supply chains have become, and the transportation networks have become more global. They've been adding on more modes, obviously parcel being one that's grown over the past few years with e-commerce, and it's new for some manufacturers that have never shipped parcel before, right, because of e-commerce. Intermodal has significantly grown over the years as well. I mean, so I think it's just that it's meeting that basic long-term objective has become more challenging today. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with that. Especially, you know, you talk about intermodal, you talk about taking the cargo container, you know, off the docks in San Francisco, putting that on a truck and getting that on a train to on rail to bring back east. And now it's about, you know, you've got that complex supply chain where you've got those various modes of transportation. So now visibility is a lot stronger. And what you're hearing in the marketplace is the control tower. A lot of folks are trying to answer that global visibility problem with their answer being a control tower. And in that control tower, which is a part of the TMS, or sits above it, more so like a 4PL kind of management position, that control tower has to look at, you know, what's coming from overseas, what I'm getting my data from the rail now to synergize that with the 214s and the data updates I'm getting from the carriers, and putting that all together, and then now setting the alerts, you know, saying, okay, great, I see the data coming, I see my shipment status, now is the shipment going to make it? And that's when the whole world of predictive analytics comes in, of being proactive. So yeah, in part of the innovation, you know, going back to a previous question, is being more, the TMS needs to be more proactive as opposed to reactive. And because you've got this onslaught of data coming in, and you've got very powerful databases and very powerful technologies now, you want to be more proactive to worry about the problem shipments and not worry about those normal stats, just because you can only manage so much, and you really want to spend your time managing those problem shipments.
Yeah, you just mentioned, I think you raised a good point, which was going to lead me to my next question. You talked about how a TMS now needs to become more proactive as opposed to reactive. So in light of all the trends we talked about, as well as, you know, all the emerging trends that continue to happen in the transportation market, I mean, what are some of the most important attributes, right? Of if you're going to say, well, this is how I would define a next generation TMS. I mean, what are some of those attributes that would define a next generation TMS?
Yeah, visibility is right on top there. I mean, years ago when I wrote my first TMS, it was all about getting the order correct, making sure people were typing in the right origin and location, making sure you had the zip code, making sure you had the driver directions correct. Now we've surpassed that. Now it's all about visibility. People really want to know. Years ago they want to know where that shipment was, but now they really they're dealing, like you say, on a global scale. So on a global scale now, we have to concentrate on that visibility and faster for them to see those problem shipments, making it easier and faster to see their incredible network and where all the volume is headed. For example, I mean, look at Amazon. Amazon is putting up warehouses across the country because they want to get closer to the ultimate delivery point. So, you know, think of it. So there are some companies out there that are still blind as to where their shipments are going. We deal with customers all the time that they had no idea that they had, you know, a large number of shipments going to a particular location. They thought maybe they had one or two, but when we show them the data and pictured on the map, they say, holy cow, I had no idea we were sending so information that way. And then you look at the triangles across the map to get it from A to B. It's really going A to B to finally get there. Then optimization takes place. So you really have to give your customers now more visibility because, again, they are more sophisticated. And then they're going to ask the next question, which is, okay, how can you optimize that? So the other innovation, of course, we've all done the traveling salesman problem a while back, but now we're getting to more sophisticated optimization strategies based upon, you know, what they're carrying and where it's being cross-docked and where it's going. So again, optimization continues to be challenging, continues to become more sophisticated in the algorithms we have to use. Visibility shows us the way. And then it's all about the data. Years ago, I could get away with a few reports to show folks on, you know, service levels for their carriers. Now they want a lot more data. They want more carrier scorecards. They want more cost analyses. And everyone has a sort of a different flavor. So you really, the innovation here is you really got to give your data and open up your data to your customer, to your partner, so they can sift through the data and make their own reports. What I'm seeing customers doing more so now is we're giving them data, we're giving them total access to their data, so that they can roll their own rapport, they can do their own analyses, so they can get more value out of it.
Yeah, no, certainly visibility is, like you mentioned at the beginning there, continues to be, you know, in the forefront of what many users, want out of a TMS and, you know, even broader supply chain, you know, solutions. And I think you touched upon kind of the data piece kind of being historically, that's been kind of the constraint, right? Being able to get timely, accurate and complete data into the TMS to provide that visibility. Just to kind of, flesh this out a little bit more. I mean, in terms of visibility, are you seeing, more demand or requirements with regards to seeing things more in a more graphical, manner, right? So kind of a picture's worth 1,000 words. So kind of whereas maybe everything 5-10 years ago was in kind of tabular form, kind of looks like a big Excel spreadsheet. Now being able with, more BI orientation, kind of be able to see things more graphically to be able to get to those insights faster.
Oh, absolutely. And our horn or anything, but recently we just had a roll out a new UI and our new user interface opens up with a map. And on that map, are arrows showing where your shipments are going. It's the weather, it's tornadoes, it's severe warning, it's concentrations on where your shipments are. And just like you say, the reason we went in that direction because customers were asking us for more graphical representation of the state of their transportation network. People love our graphics right now. They're really going in that direction. Feedback that we've had so far over the past couple of days one from a large customer, is they just love seeing everything as is. And with graphics now and with BI now, you can drill down. So yeah, that tabular data that you used to get, you know, it was all or nothing on one page. Now, you know, if you've got shipments going to New England, you can click on the number 5,000, drill down, and oh, look, you've got 600 going to Massachusetts, you've got 500 going to Vermont, and you've got a smattering going to Rhode Island. So that drill down capability, that graphic representation, you're going from a graphic, you know, this really nice, cool histogram, drilling down on that to go to more granular data. They just love that expertise that tool. And yet, a picture is worth 1,000 words. And in this case, we're actually, a picture is showing less than 1,000 words. It's showing the highlight. It's showing where your problem is or what you want to concentrate on. And along with that, you know, you need people who need to be able to interpret that information. So we are spending a lot more time training people as well. When we roll out new attached documentation, we down with folks too, because again, it's not about data entry anymore. It's about looking at this data on the screen, these graphics on the screen, and be able to interpret that information and to improve your operation.
No, great points. I love the fact that it's not, you know, 1,000 words, but it's really presenting kind of the information that you really need at hand, right? Because I think, you know, you can get, I think one of the drawbacks of the old tabular format is that you just get, you know, drowned out. Overwhelmed by all the numbers, you know, on the screen, where really all you were interested in, like you said earlier, were perhaps those problem shipments or to just a particular region or a particular mode, and just being able to, in a more simpler manner, be able to showcase that, I think is becoming, much more important. You brought up predictive analytics before, so I just want to ask a question around that. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, buzz around, you know, emerging technologies and predictive analytics, being one of them. I mean, how is predictive analytics, you know, influencing or transforming, you know, TMS?
Oh yeah, I mean, we just did our symposium, you know, a while ago back in May, and I'm getting people walking up to me and they say, "Great, I like the TMS, but when are you going to be able to tell me when that shipment is late? When are you going to be able to tell me that, hey, 3 days from now, I'm going to have 600 trucks show up at my cross dock?" When there's a traffic jam in New York City and I'm not going to be able to get my shipment there in time. So, people are much more intelligent about data nowadays. They realize the wonderful things you can do with data and predicting. And, you know, you see that, you open up the New York Times front page and you'll see a story are working on projects to help you forecast the future or forecast, you know, the next 3 months or so. And same here, we have transportation managers who are talking to us about, hey, I want to forecast my next month. I want to forecast my next 2 months. I want to understand what the costs are. If the DOE fuel index goes up, how is that going to impact my transportation costs? And again, going back to customer satisfaction, it's all about making sure that shipment gets there on time. We had a case where we had a shipment going across the United States and looked like it was on time to be delivered. Then all of a sudden, for some reason, the driver started going in the opposite direction. And you know what? We didn't see that. We saw that too late. So there, we need to put in place more algorithms to detect shipments that are going to go awry, and that's where we'll be spending the next 6 months to 12 months next year, as we as a company is concentrating on developing those algorithms. Which, you know, it's not rocket science. It's, you know, it's, oh look, you know, the truck is 600 miles away and it's either going to make it there or not make it there. So it's some, you know, we feel it's some pretty basic blocking and tackling, some simple calculations to throw up the red alert on that shipment to show that things are going to be late, as well as you know, say we're getting severe weather in Chicago and their shipments are headed that way. We want to pop up the alert that say, hey, there might be a delay. So we're taking baby steps right now. Is, you know, the truck is, you got 10 trucks just outside the crosswalk within a couple of miles or so. We want to give you a heads up on that, heads up on the weather, heads up on traffic jams, but taking those baby steps. Then after we grab those baby steps, we're going to build on that and do things a little bit more sophisticated. And we'll be working with our users as well with other folks in the industry of what they think might be the next step in predictive analytics. But it's here, the data's there. And people are saying, let's use that data to make better decisions and to satisfy our customer better.
So you know, it sounds like to kind of enable this predictive analytics, you know, part of a next generation TMS is the ability to integrate with some of these external data sources, whether it's weather feeds, you know, traffic feeds, or even with, you know, there's a lot going on right now with ELDs, right? Or just, you know, telematics data to understand how fast a truck is going or if a truck is broken down. So if you've got a, you know, if you're running a dedicated fleet or a private fleet, you know, and you can get that kind of data into it as well, that can be factored into some kind of a predictive algorithm as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a great point, Adrian. And remember that data, again, when I was first writing TMSs, you didn't have that kind of data. You didn't have a weather feed. You didn't have a traffic feed. You had, you know, the stuff that you got off the 214 from your favorite carrier. And now there's just a plethora of data feeds out there. And exactly as you say, you know, we're getting feeds in from weather, traffic, all various other types of sources, as well as carrier data. As well as there's other, you know, there's third party companies out there that are doing the telematics and, you know, pinging the telephones, you know, the Qualcomms of the world, the macro points, the TMS. Now we've had to develop the four that are interface with these tools, because each customer has their own favorite tool. Nobody's really won that marketplace yet. So, you know, there's lots of competition out there for providing data as where that shipment is. So for this next generation of TMSs, you've got to develop those interfaces to play with all these third parties that are pinging your phone, pinging the driver's phone, tying into the Qualcomm networks to amalgamating all the data, as well as bringing all that data from the internet inside, so that you can combine all this data in a data warehouse or a database, and be able to make those predictive analytics, as well as accumulate that data so that if your customer wants to develop their own report or their own predictive analytic, they have the tools to do so. So you've got to enable that tool set so that your user can develop that stuff on your own.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, just building on kind of the data theme here. I mean, obviously the output of a TMS is only as good as the quality of the data feeding it. And, you know, you've got still have a lot of carriers or a lot of other, you know, shippers, you know, suppliers perhaps that are, you know, still working in a more manual, you know, manner. You know, have there been improvements or ways of trying to get as much data as possible in electronic format in a timely manner, in a way that kind of you've got high confidence in its quality? I mean, what's happening in terms of moving the needle on trying to get more timely and accurate information?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're constantly finding flaws or for those electronic for a sequence, because sometimes we'll get a sequence of data for events and it just doesn't make sense to us. And it could be because you know, the computers were in some type of delay, the drivers in some type of delay, but sometimes that information doesn't line up. So what we've had to do is we have to, you know, dive a little bit into those messages from carriers and make sure they are in the right sequence, that they do. I'd say there's been improvements in the business logic in examining data to make sure that the data is accurate, as well as where our partners don't have that type of capability of electronic messaging. We'll give them, you know, portals. So the world of portals is something you didn't have years ago. And because of people are more comfortable with computers, they're more comfortable with using browsers, you can throw up these portals and they can enter in that data. And then when they enter that data, we've really locked it down. You know, We've got strong data validation in there, so it's hard for them to fat finger things. So, you know, as data entry features, you know, and this goes for, you know, computer applications across the country that have been developed over the past 10 years, is, you know, you have more drop down menus, you have more forced choices that people have to make. So data validation is getting stronger. You're more intelligent now about electronic messaging and sequences and corroborating that with other data that you see. So that dirty data doesn't help us at all. We really have to cleanse the data, make sure the data is clean to make those decisions.
You know, one of the things that I, you know, back in my predictions for 2016 that I wrote back in December, I talked about kind of the market starting to move, and it's not going to happen overnight, obviously, but the market starting to move away from EDI towards APIs, right? What are you seeing on the API front? Are you seeing kind of broader adoption of APIs as a way to, you know, more in a more timely, more efficient, you know, manner, be able to get some of this information versus just relying on EDI?
Yeah, funny you should mention that. It's about a year ago, you know, we were hearing sounds about, you know, folks going from traditional EDI to more XML, more web services features. Over the past 6 months, I've had customers come to us requesting, and large customers, very large customers that do very large shipments, and that they want to go the API web service route. And we scratch our heads because we're saying, you know, why do you want to do that? Why is it so important that you do this this new near real-time data as opposed to dropping a file of, you know, 5,000 orders and for us to process that in about a minute or a couple of minutes or so? But the feeling there is that, you know, tech is driving this. You know, developers are coming in now, and they're familiar with web services, they're more comfortable with web services. Computers are fast enough now to send those messages very, very quickly. And also the van, you know, people want to start getting away from the vans. They don't want to be tied down to engine formats or some cost. So people are starting to develop those web services on their own, and they integrate well with their other TMSs or the applications that they're using. So yeah, we're seeing an increase in customers who would like to go to an API, a web service format, and we're accommodating that. And it changes. What we have to do is we have to build yet another infrastructure, because we had an infrastructure that handled high volume EDI traffic. Now we have to build out our infrastructure to handle high volume web service and API type traffic. So it's a totally different technology, and it's interesting, and I'm sort of surprised to see it, but I shouldn't be.
Yeah, no, great insight. Yeah, no, I was certainly hearing the same thing from from shippers as well, and other, you know, service providers, which, you know, kind of led me to my other prediction that, you know, 3PLs, you know, the value proposition of 3PLs was kind of shifting, where it used to be, you know, logistics services powered by technology. In some ways, you're becoming technology providers, you know, enabled by logistics services. You know, so it's kind of the lines continue to blur there. But whether you're talking about a TMS or any other type of technology solution, I mean, at the end of the day, they're just tools, right? And you ultimately need, going back to what you talked about before in terms of the users, you need knowledgeable people who know, you know, how to effectively use a TMS. So, you know, as TMS continue to evolve, I mean, will the role and skills of TMS users also need to change?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm seeing it here at Transplace. We have folks who support our customers in operations, and I hate to use the same phrase over and over again, but, you know, years ago, you take care of the order, the entity, the order, and then if you see something running late, you pick up the phone and you call the dispatcher and you say, hey, what's going on here? But now, even in Transplace, I'm seeing our employees becoming they're coming to me with these reports that they've written, you know, using the tools that are available nowadays, the tools from Microsoft, the tools from Tableau, where they've written some very sophisticated reports to show them about the performance of a particular carrier for a particular customer. So these people who are not just order takers anymore, folks that are coming in and folks who are using our TMS are learning more about the data that they're seeing, the patterns that they're seeing, and they want to get more involved in the data and helping the customer to improve things. I was at a client last week, and they are looking to hire a person who would be able to sift through all the data and tell a story about the data and tell that story to all levels of management. And that's a pretty special skill, one, to be able to sift through the data, create a report, and then to communicate that, you know, up the tiers of management. But, you know, their logistics group are looking for people like that. So they're not looking for people just to pick up the phone and find out where the truck is. They want somebody to really do analysis and do some forecasting and do some thought. And, you know, you're going to need more and more of that in transportation industries as TMSs continue to grow up.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I think I think what you're seeing is something that I've been seeing and hearing from others as well is, you know, wearing multiple hats, right? So it's not just no longer about, you know, answering those basic questions about where's my shipment and running basic reports, but, you know, they're wearing an IT hat, they're wearing a customer service hat, they're wearing a data analyst hat, they're wearing a storyteller hat, right? In terms of being able to take, you know, what they're seeing and be able to interpret that into, okay, how can we solve a business problem here? How can we drive continuous improvement? You know, so be able to do that, you know, more effectively. So you really need a more sophisticated type of user with different skills today than you did in the past. I just want to remind those of you that are joining us live today. Yeah, we're kind of running up short on time here. So if you do have a question for Mike, you know, now will be the time to ask it. You know, I just got a couple more questions, Mike. Again, you know, since you work at a 3PL. You know, you've got your own proprietary, you know, TMS system, as you mentioned, and you also provide, you know, managed services. As TMS solutions become, you know, continue to evolve and bring in some of the attributes and capabilities that we've talked about today, I mean, is that leading to kind of next generation customer 3PL relationships? You know, in other words, you know, how are, you know, next gen TMS helping 3PLs provide, you know, better service and benefits to customers?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. They're asking more of us. So their challenge is, our customers' challenge is to reduce costs. And I go back to what I stated before about satisfying the customer. So they realize that there's more ways to save money. There's more ways to answer some of the pains that they have. In our IT group, we only have limited resources and we have many customers. And, you know, I would get requests to, you know, hey, can you generate this type of report for me? Can you generate this type of report for me? So they're asking for more and more and more reports as well as better and faster execution. So to solve the report issue, what we've had to do is we'll get, you know, I hate to go back to it, but we had to create a data warehouse that we opened up to our customer base. So we have customers now with their data analysis tools that connect directly to our data warehouse. Because they're asking for so much data, I couldn't man up against all their requests. I said, great, here's a program to do all these ad hoc reports yourself. And you know what? They welcomed it with open arms. Because they want to see data differently. They have various skill sets on their sides who use Excel, who use Microsoft tools, who use Tableau, who use Cognos, and they take these extracts from our data warehouse and they roll it up and they do their own analysis. So they're pushing me for more answers, and I've got to provide them with better resources to get those answers, as well as speed of execution. You know, the shippers have very demanding customers. Amazon, for example, wants to get there as fast as they can. So you've got to help them execute faster. So again, to your point about the APIs, our customers feel that if we implement with them the APIs to keep up with their data gets to us faster, is more near real time. So that exchange of data is faster. That'll speed up the execution, and that'll help them satisfy their customer better. And then again, as always, the time eternal question is, where is my shipment? So it's a day or two out, and they haven't heard anything in progress. It's a high value shipment for some reason. They want to know where the heck it is. So they hear their director of transportation, he's not scared of technology anymore, or she is not scared of technology anymore. They open up the newspaper and they see some new technology, and they ask us, hey, how come we're not adopting that technology? So our customers, our relationship with our customers is pushing us to be more aggressive about looking at new technology and being able to adopt that technology if they so desire.
Yeah, I mean, as you were talking there, particularly in terms of being able to tap into the data directly into the data warehouses and run their own reports and things like that. I mean, I think that, I see that as well. I think it falls under the larger umbrella that I talk about. I mean, they're being pressured, shippers, manufacturers, retailers, and so forth. Yeah, they're being pressured with, making smarter decisions faster, right? And what I see and hear from them is that, the data that you have, the operations that you might be managing on their behalf is, a segment of their overall supply chain. And what they need to do is they need to take what the data you have and visibility that you provide them in terms of that segment and put it into their broader context, right? So they want to be able to continuously get that data and information, put it within the context of their inventory, put it in within the context of what's happening with their manufacturing plants, so on and so forth. And, in many ways, again, it goes back to the point of, in many ways, 3PLs are becoming cloud IT providers and cloud data providers to help, your customers make smarter decisions faster. Mike, we're kind of running up short on time here. So I just want to kind of get back to, get to my last question here as a way to wrap up. I mean, what advice would you give to companies that are, either looking to implement a TMS for the first time or perhaps are looking to upgrade, their existing TMS solution?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the things we talked about. It's technology has come a long way, and it's going to keep going. So EDI, traditional EDI, is starting to, it's been around for so long, but to your point and to your prediction, and yeah, I see your prediction coming true, is that your next TMS has got to be enabled to accommodate those APIs. It's got to be flexible from a technology aspect. It's got to be not only support that traditional EDI, the traditional VAN, but also architecture in place to support web services, which support those APIs back and forth. As well as data, you've got to have your next TMS has got to give you the ability so that you can access the data yourself, so that you can graphically see what's going on with your shipment network. So graphics is a high value. Let's get back into more basic things. You got to make sure it's secure now. I mean, you pick up the New York Times or you pick up another transportation paper or something, and you'll see people getting hacked into. So you want to make sure that your TMS has gone through all those wonderful audits, the SSAE 16 audits. You want to make sure that there's failover, that there is a problem, that they do fail over to another site. Years ago, you could get away with perhaps a single instance of a TMS. But nowadays, the standard question you ask your TMS provider is, what redundancies do you have? Are you audited? Are you secure? Along with all those great technology, the graphics, the data accessibility, the web services, and just, speed of execution.
Yeah, great advice there, Mike. And with that, we'll wrap it up there. And like I always say at the end of all our episodes, we always just manage to scratch the surface on the topics that we discussed. But again, I think you provided some great insights and food for thought for our audience. So again, thank you for making the time to be with us today.
Thanks, Adrian.
And I want to thank those of you that joined us live today. We didn't get any questions, but if you are watching this episode on demand, and you've got a question for Mike, you can find this episode on talkinglogistics.com, post a question or a comment there, and I'm sure that Mike would be more than happy to follow up via that medium. So again, thank you all for joining us today, and look forward to seeing you in a future episode of Talking Logistics. Have a great day.